Crown, when do you know when to give up on an idea?
Oh, okay, when do I know to give up an idea? Now, that's a funny thing, because...
Has that ever happened?
Yes, all right. This is what's really terrible for me, is I usually know when to give up, but I still finish it anyway, which is not good in business world.
Right. Does that mean you shift from the excited, I can't wait to work on this phase, to the... This is a horrible grind and I want to die phase.
Now, yeah, that phase always happens in a long project, but you have to work through it. The problem is you sometimes realize during that phase that you probably should, or right before that phase begins, right, where the this is a horrible grind, I want to quit phase starts, you realize that this project is not going to turn a profit and you should probably stop. But sometimes you finish it anyway, hoping maybe things will change and they don't.
That's quite an opposite thought to what often gets brought up with this sort of topic. Yeah, well, usually the conversation goes, once that initial rush of excitement has expired and you hit the grind and you'll be like, oh man, this sucks, but I need to push through it. That's usually the test. And you know, we often hear about the inspiring stories of those who say, nah, screw it. And then they push through and then they make something really successful. Whereas, you know, everyone else who has 20 started ideas with none of them finished, at least this person completed it. But you're sort of preaching a different tale where, oh, I'm tired, I should have cut my losses and I foolishly didn't.
Exactly. I was going to say, this is the topic for today, is when to quit. Yeah, there's also when not to quit. And for a lot of people, I mean, the test is, can you push through? Because every project is going to get to the stage where it's just a grind and you hate it and you have to push through and finish it. But as far as knowing when to quit, that's actually, I think, harder, especially if you're a person who's able to follow through on what you start, which is, I'm that personality type.
Do you feel you know when it's appropriate to cut losses?
It's hard to tell. I mean, on YouTube. So YouTube is one of my main platforms. It's really hard to predict what YouTube's going to do and how much, you know, how many benefits it's going to give you, like how many people it's going to show your video to, where it's, if it's going to put it on the front page of some place or not. So there's a lot up in the air there. But sometimes you have a feel for a project that you're just doing for yourself. And when you post it, it's not going to go anywhere. So... Yeah, it's... Ugh.
I feel like I'm really bad at it. There's so many things that have sat there for years and years, and I refuse to admit that it's dead. It's always got a, oh, I'll get back to it one day sort of vibe, but then when enough years have gone past, then, like, I'm almost repulsed to look at it. I'm like, okay, well, I actively can't go back.
Oh my gosh.
Not because I've given up, but now just because the ship sailed. If I was to go back to it now, I'd have to start again.
So now, all right, let's think about some of those ideas. When you gave up on them, was it because it became a grind or because you realized that they really weren't that great?
Oh, I think about half and half. There's definitely some where I'm relieved that I realized that. It's usually over the halfway point. Where it's like, if I really push hard for it just a little bit longer, I could see it done. But realizing that I don't want to release this. I don't want people to see this and consume it. It'll get, you know, the wrong idea.
Wow.
They won't learn anything from it. It's just not entertaining. That happens quite a bit. That's usually on the tutorial side of things. For other personal projects and stuff. Because that's just like, I'm developing a world and writing characters, writing stories, but that's more of a hobby than anything. No one pays me to do that. It's more of a pipe dream to be able to do that. So they can just sort of happily sit there for years and years, and every now and then they'll come off the shelf and get reinvented in slightly different ways. But there's definitely a couple that have perished. Like, there's one where that I worked on for like 4 or 5 years, and I built every character in 3D, built every set.
Oh my gosh.
Wrote several like hour-long scripts, storyboarded the whole thing, and then finally realized, I'm not equipped to animate this by myself. And it just never really continued after that.
I'm amazed because I have the opposite thing. So it's rare that I will abandon something once I start it, especially if you've made all of those assets, Oh my gosh, I wish I could do what you do and just say, okay, I got this far, but it's just not going to happen. I will power through it to my peril, at my peril. It was not a benefit. It's not a good behavior in this case. It's the opposite. The
thing is, though, I don't think it was a, oh, I can't do this, so I'll stop, but rather a reaching the line of, okay, well, now it's just putting my head down and grinding out shots. And that was a lot easier to procrastinate from.
I mean, yeah.
So it usually just didn't happen in favor of smaller scale projects that I could pump out in a week or two. Eventually, it got to the point where I'd improved enough that making that old thing would be somewhat embarrassing. It's like, well, I'd have to start it again. The world's changed a lot as well, so, you know, these scripts may not be applicable to the current year. Because, it was a story about, like, how the internet worked, like this one in particular. But this is in, like, 2006, like, before smartphones were a thing.
Yeah, when the internet was still a series of tubes.
So much of it would have to be reinvented now if it were to come back. But
and now it's not worth it to do that. Probably not. You'd have to rewrite it.
Yeah, if I was to do anything with those assets now, I think it would be more of a just like the documentary of its journey
and failure. I don't know. I find failures really interesting.
Yeah, like tell the story of its universe and characters and all the things that I built for it, but also the mindset of where I was at the time, where it came, where it was going, why it didn't happen, and hopefully people would get something out of that. In regards to their own universes and characters, to be able to help keep them on track without getting sidetracked. Like, I had a bad habit of just world building too much.
Oh, you have world builder's disease. You get world builder's disease. I have the same problem.
That's a thing?
Yeah, that's what it's called, too.
Tell me more.
Well, it's exactly what you just said. It's you keep building the world and you just never end up doing anything because you keep expanding the universe or like going down into the finite details and figuring out the economy and all this backstory that really isn't necessary, and it prevents you from actually doing the plot and getting it done. That's world builder's disease.
There was once or twice where I caught myself doing that, where it was starting to go the way of the Star Wars prequels, where I realized that I was getting into like proper politics.
Oh gosh.
It was like all these main characters like sitting around a boardroom like discussing things. I was like, hang on. It's so far removed from like the base mechanics and gimmicks of this world. So that all went in the trash, and thankfully I had the foresight to do that. But what I didn't have the foresight to do was to just sort of just make it. I did part one of this series when I was like a kid, and that gave me enough ideas to start fleshing out the universe from there. But what I really should have done was just immediately make part two.
That's pretty interesting. So, I mean, I did a similar thing, but I actually went through with it. So I had a webcomic that I did for 8 years or something like that.
Wow.
And I ended up stopping it. I killed it. That was really hard to do. Somewhere in my channel, there's a very emotional video where I describe that I'm not going to be doing it anymore after 8 years. And at the time, that was the most consistent thing. I'd been drawing a comic every week for 8 years, and I decided I couldn't do it anymore because it wasn't making any money, and I was now a business owner. So things changed. It wasn't just a hobby anymore. So in my case,
did it get canned, or did you conclude the story?
I didn't get to conclude the story because in order to reach any conclusion, it would have taken a few more years probably, or at least a year. Whoa. Of weekly, you know, a lot of hours. So I just kind of cut the story, left it on, I guess, a bit of a cliffhanger. But basically the main character, she goes back to where she's from.
So you did give it, like the last few pages were one of, I know I'm going to conclude it at this point. Like it wasn't a, you were intending to do the next one and then you just didn't.
No, that's actually kind of what happened. I was intending to do the next one and it just wasn't happening. So I took some time to make a video conclusion. And so the end of the comic was a video, like a little animation of the character going back to her home, which people don't know what that is because that was going to be part of the arc. Anyway, I canned it because in my case, when you're doing art for money, you have to be able to recognize when something isn't bringing you a profit, and you have to be willing to kill it off, even if it's really special to you.
Yeah, that would be hard. Because one thing that I would love to have one day is something like that, but then bring it to an end. Because it'd be like, oh, it's that emotional rush, but like, oh, it's finished.
Yeah, but to actually finish it.
Like it had an ending. But the thing is, if your one didn't quite end, if it finished because it wasn't successful anymore, then yeah, that would be very emotionally straining.
But at least it had an ending rather than just there was nothing more. Because I've seen that plenty of times, and you probably have too, where they're just, there's the last page and where's the rest of the comic? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. And the artist never really acknowledges it, I suppose, because they themselves haven't made that mental decision, no, it is done. Like maybe there'll be a one-page update 6 months or a year later that's just carrying on as normal. And you're like, hang on.
Yeah, that's kind of what you talked about, though, which is you set it, you shelf it and think you'll get back to it. But a lot of the times you're not going to, so...
Yeah, I get away with it with my stuff because, like, I haven't published it anywhere. Like, I'm just doing pre-development on my own, and I never really get around to actually publishing anything.
I mean, that gives you a lot of flexibility because you don't have to retcon.
I guess. I feel like it's even worse, though, because you're just spending forever preparing and never actually putting anything out
there. Oh, no, that's horrible. Oh, gosh.
It's something I like about YouTube stuff is that it is possible to conceive and publish an idea the same day.
But I remember hearing this somewhere. So an idea for a novel, for example, isn't something that just pops into your mind, really. If it does, it sits there for a couple years. So I feel like most cartoon pitches, most books that are really good are in the back of the creator's mind for a while, for a few years, and then they're able to put it to paper. So, I mean, it makes sense that some of this stuff percolates for a couple years, but
yeah, you're not wrong.
I know your frustration.
That changes a lot, though. Like, even when it's, like, being pitched successfully and it will become a thing, even then it can take like 6 years or more for it to finally get everyone on board and funding and changes and all that sort of stuff. But with personal stuff where it's like, oh, I want to write a book or whatever. I feel like it's either super long-winded or super, super fast. Because like with official pitches as well, like when the green light happens and the go happens, even after it's been 6 years of sort of stagnation, suddenly it's all hands on deck, like immediately, and a huge amount of stuff all happens within 1 week. And I think personal projects are quite similar, where yeah, it would be sitting there at the back of your head for a while, and then, or maybe not and then, but I feel like it's either something will sit there for ages, or it will get conceived and then a whole lot of work will come out the same day. Like that just sort of weird creative high.
Yeah, weird creative high. That's a good way to put it. But yeah, I feel like a lot of the complicated world building stuff, it happens all at once, but it usually has been thought about for a while and debated and changed.
I don't know if it's for everyone, but I think a lot of the time that tends to happen the most when just wandering about, just daydreaming. Like that's where most of that work happens, and then putting it down on the page is like, that's like doing cleanup.
Yeah, well, editing is the cleanup as far as the writing side of things goes.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. But I mean, it's like actually getting it onto the page as opposed to it all just swimming about.
Yeah, exactly. You got to pin it down and you make a decision.
The in your back of the mind ones, they're more of a, they're sitting there existing until the opportunity arises. I don't know if you've ever had those where it's something sitting in one particular form, and then the stars align in a particular way that you're like, oh, actually, if this like wasn't a comic, if it was animated with puppets, then it could work. And then it comes to life suddenly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've had that a bunch of times. Like even my Onion Skin channel is an example of that, because it was starting off as a what was it? Just doing some stuff on the side for Jazza. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should pitch that to him one day. I'll get around to it at some point. And then eventually he sits down his audience and says, hey, I hear that you guys are wanting Toon Boom stuff. Sorry, I can't do it. That was like, okay, opportunities now or never. So that's when I pitched it. And it started happening very, very suddenly.
That was the same with the comic that I ended up ending. It's because I made a comic one day. Just, I made a comic. There wasn't any, it feels like I didn't think of it. You know, I'd be reading comics and I thought they were cool and I kind of wanted to do one. And then one day I drew one and I just didn't stop drawing them for 8 years after that point. It wasn't like I thought about how the first one would be. You just made it.
Okay, so it started from a very humble beginning. The whole, like, crazy world building you're talking about, that didn't come till later.
No, see, that was a strip comic, so it was kind of like more, I don't know, Garfield-type thing. You know, three panels, or sometimes six panels.
Is that the one you're talking about, though, that had too much world building involved, though?
No. The one that has too much world building is the one I'm working on right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about, because I have this thing where if I talk about something to people, then I lose interest in it. So
there's an element of truth to that, because it's I think there's a word for it. I can't remember what it is, but it's the sense of accomplishment, like the dopamine that you get from finishing something. Apparently, there is a certain amount of that is used up certain in just talking about it.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. That sounds like it makes a lot of sense.
By explaining, oh, this is my idea, this is what I want to do. Because, like, you've been on the edge of your seat being like, oh, this is so cool, I can't wait to do this. And, like, you're just bursting, wanting to say it. If that energy is directed into making it, it's going to be a lot stronger. But if you kind of cheat yourself and blurt it all out to someone before it's due, then some of that excitement's used up. And now you don't have the rush to actually work on it anymore.
Not to open up another topic, but...
That's okay, you can do that.
The line between knowing when to talk about something, because it really helps to have editors and people, you know, look over the story or the drawings and say, hey, this is good, this is bad. So the line between being able to talk about it but still having the drive to do it is so fine.
All right, that's the next episode then. I just wrote that down. But for now, I want to ask about... With developing this one, I've forgotten now because I was writing down like, when do you want to talk about it? And I was like,
something about the series that I'm working on, which I have someone I'm talking to about it, and it's given me some really great ideas. But you know, then you kind of lose the surprise.
Sorry, it was on topic with what we're talking about now, which is the world building phase of it. Like this time, rather than just sort of leaping into it, making it, and letting the world build itself. Are you falling into the trap this time of spending far too much time in pre-development and realizing, oh, I could just be developing this world forever and never actually get started?
Yeah, I've got world builder's disease really bad on this one. Like, I'm sitting there trying to figure out the economy and the general history of a 500-year time period so that I can understand. It's just, I don't need to know that stuff. I just need to write a story about a person and another person. What?
I feel like there has to be at least some, because if you don't do enough, you can end up in a few traps. Like, I have a lot of fun, as much as I enjoy Harry Potter, I have a lot of fun making fun of it as well, because of things like that. You know, it started off in a very innocent place. It's just, you know, oh, magical journey of some kids going to magic school. This is great. And it has all these like crazy, wacky things that happen just because it's fun and it's magical and whatever. But then when you get to the later books, when it's like a dark, serious adult thriller.
Yeah.
All of these rules that were established when it was a fun children's fantasy are still applicable. And now they're in direct conflict with like serious physics of the world, but they were only introduced as a light gag originally.
Yeah, no, I remember hearing about this on a different podcast, which is basically that I think within each book, the logic is consistent, but across all of them, there's really no consistency as far as world building and like how things work.
There's probably a healthier way to think about that franchise.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be my problem, but I really want to understand the overall. Oh, this is the problem with having gone to a college for this type of thing, is you think way too far into it. But you know, to understand the economy and how things work just because of this one particular magical attribute kind of changes everything.
Thing is, if you're making it yourself and you feel confident that you'll be able to see it through by yourself, then by all means. The problem with too much world building, if you plan to pitch it to someone else, is how you're going to feel when they ask you to change something.
Oh, yeah, that's another good topic. I don't suppose you have any experience with that.
A little bit. I've been lucky enough to write a script once, and that was a very interesting journey because it was an idea that had already existed. that could have been redeveloped to work within this show. We're able to rework it ourselves a bit to have it fit, and that was all well and good. And then when the directors and producers come along and they make further changes later, I wasn't prepared for that. And that was quite tricky at first. By the time it was all finished, it was all fine and satisfying. But yeah, definitely learnt a lot from that. And I think one of the big lessons moving forward is if you're asked to like pitch something or you're asked to work on something that's pre-established, I think in future I'd be better off coming up with a new idea on the spot rather than trying to engineer a beloved childhood IP into something else.
Yeah, because then you...
Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it makes sense because you had a story that you really liked and you wanted to tell, so you tried to fit it into the show and you did it, but then a bunch of stuff about it got it changed, so it wasn't exactly, you know, you had to watch your baby get edited by other people, I guess.
A little bit, yeah. Well, it was the person I was working on it with, it was her IP originally, and I kind of talked her into being like, oh, this would be a great idea. Let's make it work. It'll be great. And then sort of that made it hard for me watching it get changed because it's kind of like, oh, I'm destroying someone else's child.
Oh, yeah. But I, as a professional, you have to get used to that because...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like that's the nature of the beast. And I can't speak for how she would feel now, but I know that personally, I loved that IP. Like, it was like my favorite ever, which is one reason why I really wanted to pursue it. So I'm still okay with the fact that it happened because it got published. It exists now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just wouldn't. It'll just be this forgotten thing in the back of our minds like everybody else's thing. So that's wonderful.
All of those things that you've made that you haven't done anything with yet.
Yeah, this is the one thing that actually did. And, you know, so it didn't end up being the same as the original vision. Like, who cares?
No, yeah, it got to exist.
It's just a very strange... a roller coaster of emotions, because at first there is the rush of, holy crap, we actually got the opportunity to like write a thing. This is amazing. Like, people like kill for this opportunity and it's just sort of fallen into our laps. Oh my God. And then that's immediately replaced with the fear of responsibility, being like, I'm not an experienced writer. I am so screwed. And like, if you write something bad and then it's going to a team of people that have to work with it for the next several months, if they hate it, then it's like, that's on your head. So it's like, oh, geez, like now that pressure is there as well. And then once it's handed off and other people are working with it, then it's sort of like the fear of, oh, how now I'm not allowed to have a say anymore. Now it's their thing. What direction is going to go? I'm just going to have to be okay with it no matter what. And then the result is, yeah. So crazy roller coaster. Very, very like bucket list thing for sure.
Yeah. Let's circle back to the quitting theme, because I feel like I want to talk about that some more. So, because for me, the quitting, I know when to quit when it's not making any money. But let's say you have a project you're working on. How do you know either, I guess, not even that you're going to quit, but that you're just going to shelve it and not look at it for 10 more years?
Wait, if it's something that's dead or something that's shelved indefinitely?
Do you know the difference if you're going to shelve it or if you're going to kill it?
Well, it's never really happened deliberately. It's more that 10 years has happened to pass, and then I'm like, oh, I haven't worked on that in a long time.
Well, do you have anything that you have said, okay, absolutely not, this is done?
Yes. And that was a very difficult one to come to terms with, because I did 2 episodes of it when I was young, and the whole point of that project is that it was meant to be a universe that I could pump out episodes for quite quickly, because it was like a heavy rig-based thing. That didn't happen. I did 2, and they took forever, and the result was very unsatisfying. But I thought, no, I can salvage this, and I spent many years just on and off trying to rejig it and flush it out, and there were some cool ideas there, but there was never enough to really carry it. Particularly, I never liked the characters, and I could never write decent dialogue for them. The mechanics of the universe were the best part, but that can't carry a whole IP. However, the thing that stopped it from dying was I had promised a friend that he could do a voice for it. And every time we hung out, consistently, for years, he would ask when it's happening.
Oh my gosh.
It was just overwhelmed with guilt, being like, oh, soon. And like, I meant it. Every time we hung out, like, he would get me excited to work on it again, and we'd flesh it out a little bit together, and we'd do a little bit of work. Eventually I moved out of the town, and we'd only hang out once every 6 months, 12 months, year and a half. So it's sort of getting chipped away a little bit on those occasions. And, you know, right up until this day, it's like, oh, you know, we're going to do this thing, going to do the thing.
I was going to ask if you ever told him, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yes, yes. Within the last few months, I was like, I have a solution.
Yeah?
I know what I can do.
Uh-huh.
Because I was saying the best parts of this universe was its core mechanic. Like, the story was told in like a bit of an out of order sequence.
Sure.
Like, it was sort of time travel, sort of not. I thought that was quite a fun way to deliver it. So that can work in a different setting. Namely, it can work within a game setting.
Oh, okay. I think I see where we're going.
Yeah, you see where I'm going. So I can take the aesthetic and the scenery of that world, inject it into Willpower, have that character appear as a boss enemy in it. Then he can still do the voices for it and everyone's happy.
Oh my gosh, this is a brilliant solution. And this is, I feel like we're coming around to closing remarks for this episode. I guess the point is that even though you might have to say end a project, you recognize it's not really going anywhere, you've been spinning your wheels forever, maybe it's not making you enough money. The ideas that you wanted to use still live on and end up being put somewhere else.
Absolutely. I have a great big Trello board that's full of all of the shelf ideas, things that may or may not get worked on one day. And I'm often quite surprised what can come down, get merged with something else, reformed into something else that might actually get used for something.
And I have a big set of Google documents organized by what type they are. Like, ideas for animation, ideas for jokes. So, and that's all the shelf ideas from things that didn't quite make it. So keep track of your ideas, because you never know.
That's awesome. All right, cool. What's our next one? Wait, no, I've written down a couple from then. We were going to talk about when is it appropriate to reveal something.
All right, let's talk about that next. All right, see you next time.
All right, take care.